The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Reish Beis, Hilchas Tumas Kayin. This simon deals with the laws of Tumah as it pertains to a Kayin. We know one of the restrictions that's placed on a Kayin because of his Kedusha is that he cannot become Tameh, defile himself for a mace, for an individual that passed away, except if it's a mace mitzvah, meaning to say there's no one to bury the person, and that even a Kayin Gadol, even a high priest, has a mitzvah to defile himself, or one of the seven relatives. But other than that, a Kayin does not make himself Tameh, and even one of the seven relatives, once they're already buried, then he does not make himself Tameh for them to visit the grave. There's actually a custom in many cemeteries that relatives of Kayanim, they bury them on the outskirts of the cemetery in order that the Kayan will be able to visit the graves from the outside of the cemetery. He won't be able to go inside, but at least he could go close enough that he'll be able to see the tombstones. Because, again, once he finishes his mitzvah of burying the deceased, then he can no longer go back inside. Now let's begin with Sif Aleph of the Kitzer. A Kayin Musar Shlil Tam Lameis. A Kayin is restricted not to become Tameh, defile himself for a person that passed away. Now there is a question over here that in today's days we don't have the Paraduma, we don't have the ash of the Paraduma, which is part of the cleansing process to remove the Tumas Meis. So therefore, let's say a Kayin had been to a funeral once because it was for a close relative of his. So once he is already tame, once he's already has that status, so then normally a person wouldn't become tame more by going to a levaya, a funeral of someone else. However, according to most Rishonim, since the Torah prohibited becoming Tameh, even though there won't be any real difference, meaning to say, even before he was already Tameh, but there's still an Issa, there's a prohibition for him to do so. There is, however, the minority view of the Ravid, who is of the opinion that once a Kain is already Tameh, like most Kainim are today, then they would not have an Issa, they wouldn't have a prohibition to become Tameh again. Now, some understand that there is some sort of prohibition, just not the full prohibition. But in any event, the Ravid is definitely a minority opinion. It is sometimes used as an added reason, say if there are a number of reasons to say that the Kayin could go into a certain situation, so they may add it and throw in the opinion of the Ravid, that today it may not be such an issue. But generally speaking, the Ravid is a Das Yachid, is only a minority opinion, and therefore we generally don't follow the Ravid without other things. Now the Kitzer continues, Vafilu Nefil, and even a child that was born, that was stillborn, or a woman miscarried, Shadayin Lein Niskashrei Varav, that he's not even fully developed, Begidin, with veins and sinews, Chashiv Meis, is considered to be a deceased. Now there's an interesting question, which is that the halacha is, in many respects, that a child that's unborn and they unfortunately cannot survive more than a very short amount of time, that they don't have the status of a living person as far as different laws of Shabbos and other laws. And the Divrei Malkiel, important responsa work from Malkiel Tenenbaum from Lita, from Lithuania, He asked an interesting question. He says, if halachically speaking, we can't desecrate Shabbos for this child that's only going to live a couple hours, because since he was never fully alive, because from the moment he was born, he already had this problem. If that's the case, then why is it that a kain is allowed to be in the same room as this child until the child actually passes away? So he explains that even though in certain areas of halacha, this type of child is not considered to be alive, but since the fact is that at that moment, the child is breathing and is alive in the most simple sense, that would remove the issue of there being tumah, of there being ritual impureness, that a kohen could be there until the child unfortunately actually passes away. Now the kitzur continues in the parentheses, achim hipilu techabu amyam. If a woman miscarries very early on, within the 40 days from conception, lechashav elakamaya ba'alma, then it's only like water, meaning to say that it doesn't have the actual status of a fetus. Now there is an interesting discussion about this when it comes to, in general, the prohibition of abortion, that it would seem that because it doesn't have this, it's just considered like water, so the severity of the prohibition of abortion, let's say, for a non-Jew, we know the Gemara says that a non-Jew, if they perform an abortion, that they deserve capital punishment. So it would seem that within for the first 40 days, it would not be considered the same severity, because as we see over here, it's like Maya Alma, it's not, we don't see anything really there. However, Maisha Feinstein itself pointed out that from the fact that we were Machal Shabbos, we desecrated the Shabbos to save a viable fetus within the first 40 days, that shows us that there's at least potential for life. So that would make it prohibited. But on the other hand, as we see over here, there's no actual fetus yet from a halachic perspective, and that's why there's no tumah, that's why a kohen would not have an issue. So then the kitzur continues that this problem of tumah is not only if the body is whole, but even something that came from it, that even, let's say, revius, a few ounces of blood, that is an issue, and similar. No, not only is it a problem for a person to become in contact, a kohen to become in contact with the body or part of the body of a deceased person, but even a limb that was severed from a living person. And what's interesting about this halacha is that we find that there's no obligation of a kura, of burial, for a limb from a living person. Meaning to say, if a person died and then, for whatever reason, there was an accident and whatever it was, and at the time of death, a limb became severed from them, then there's an obligation of kura on that limb. However, if the person was living, let's say they needed a leg amputated, then there's a mitzvah to bury it because we don't want there to be tumah. Maybe there's some, it's also respectful, but the actual obligation of kura, of burial, does not apply to an eber from a live person. However, the tumah, the ritual impureness, is there, and therefore a kohen would have to be careful. Even a person's own limb, they would have a problem. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein Tzatzal, when the whole idea of transplants came out, he had a very interesting question, because a transplant is an aver, is a limb from a living person, from a deceased person, and if the recipient is a kohen, so how can he take it, because he's defiling himself, and the fact that it's touching him, you know, for the next who knows how long, is going to be a problem. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says two very interesting things. He says that if it's inside, if it's put inside a person's body, so there's a concept of tumah balua, that when tumah is swallowed up inside the body, that it loses its problem of tumah. So that's one thing. So I guess once they close the person up after surgery, then it's okay. The other thing he says is that the fact that it becomes part of the person's body, that would make it become batel, be insignificant, and it would lose its problem of tumah. Now the kitzur continues. Also, the currently kanes labayis sheyesh shem goyses. Now, not only is a person not allowed to go into a house where there's a deceased person, but even if there's a person who is a goyses is when the end stage of life, what's known as the death rattle, that they're coughing and basically they're very close to dying, so the kohen shouldn't go there, because he could very well be putting himself into a situation that the person will die and will transgress an iser. So the kitzur says, make no mistake that this person who is near death, he has the full status of a living person, and the person is not allowed to do anything to hasten the death. And it definitely doesn't make the kohen defiled. But he still transgresses his mitzvah of preserving his kahuna. Because he's supposed to guard his kahuna, and putting himself into a situation is not called grounding. If Hashem yamus zetekef, maybe the person will die very soon. Now this comes up as far as a kohen, besides all the other issues with the hospital, about perhaps there's someone already dead, and this we'll discuss later. But what about a kohen visiting someone in the ICU, in intensive care? So if there's a real concern that someone may die while he's there, then unless he's there for a relative that really needs him, then it's obviously going to be questionable. You know, if, however, they know the situation of the patients and they feel that it's pretty, you know, you could assume that nothing's going to happen and there'll be something else. Or maybe if there will be enough time, let's say, if they see on the monitors that things are going down and they have sort of system, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, they have perhaps some of the time it's these types of systems where they'll be able to tell the client when they see something's happening, oh, you should leave now because it doesn't look good. But other than that, then the person has to be careful when they go into these situations. Now, it also could make a difference if it's non-Jews, and this we'll get to eventually as we go through this siman. Sif Beis. This sif is going to introduce us to one of the most important aspects of Tumas Kainim, of the Tumah as it affects the Kainim, which is that we know that Tumah, the impurity, could be transferred through touching, through carrying, but what about through being in the same room? And in most forms of Tumah that's discussed in the Mishnayos and in the Rambam, most forms of Tumah, it's only through direct contact. However, Tumas Meis is an exception, that if you're in the same room as the deceased person, you become tummy. And it becomes a whole complicated situation. Let's say you're in one room of the hospital, and then a few rooms down the hall, or downstairs, someone passed away. Now, if there are no open... Well, let's start like this. If there are open doorways, it goes from room to room. So we're gonna learn right now that it's going to be a problem. Now we'll discuss if that's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. Is it a Torah origin or a rabbinic origin, which could make a difference if it's unclear if at all there's anyone who passed away. But let's say that there's no opening. Say the person's in the morgue, the deceased person's in the morgue, and they're not coming, and there's no and the door of the morgue is closed. So it would seem that should be fine because there's no transfer of tumah. However, we will later learn about a concept which is clearly rabbinic, which is the idea of seif tumah latzeis, which is that an opening, a doorway that is going to be opened in order to remove the deceased from, let's say that deceased person in the morgue, they're going to have to take them out. So we look at that door as if it's open because the meis is supposed to be going out through there. And so therefore, if the pathway will be into an area which will be in the same airspace as where the kohen is, then that could be a problem. Now, many times, once they bring the deceased person to the morgue, they take them out through a separate entrance that doesn't go back to the hospital in any way, and that could be okay. But it's not necessarily the case, and that's what makes it sometimes complicated when dealing with the question as far as under what circumstances could a kohen go into a hospital. Now let's see Siv Beis in the Kitzer. Also a kohen likanes tachas ayom sheyesh meis tachtav. A kohen is prohibited from going into an oil, a tent, or any sort of room where there's a meis underneath the same ceiling. Afilu hu oil gadol harbe, even if it's one very large oil, one very large ceiling over their head. Afilu yesh shnei chadarim echad asher becheder echad yesh meis. And if there's two rooms, and one of them there's a deceased person, v'yesh b'mechitza hamafsekes nekev, sheyesh bo tefach al tefach. And what happens if you have two rooms next to each other, and between them is an opening, which is just a tefach, which is like 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches, also likonis gamachidah sheni, that small opening of 3.5 inches is enough to make it pass through. Ki nekev tefach al tefach v'yesh atumah, because an opening that's that size could bring in the tumah. Now, there's a discussion, let's say, about what about vents and these types of things, that you could theoretically have a vent system that goes throughout the hospital, and if the openings of the vent don't have, are that size, then that may be a problem. But also, the kind V'chein im eitzel ha-cheder ha-sheni yish oit cheder shlishi. What if that has another room of b'neim gamkin neck of tefach ha-tefach, and it has another opening of the size, ha-lechas ha-tumma gam l'cheder ha-shlishi. Goes to the third room, v'chein l'aylam, it keeps on going. V'nek of ha-osu l'ayra, and a hole that's only made for light, I feel the anybody ala kipundya, and even it's a much smaller amount, maybe it's a tumma. So this one gets back to the vents, you know, there are those that discuss whether or not vents have the category of this sort of opening that's made for light or for air. But the bottom line is that if something has an opening at least the size of 3.5 by 3.5 inches, or maybe even smaller, that could bring the tumma from one place to the next. Now, there is a question, a machlokes, a difference of opinion between the Shach and the Magen Avraham, whether or not mecheder lecheder from room to room is a din d'oraisa, is a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition, which would make an important difference in the hospital. Let's say a person's going to the hospital, and they're not sure whether or not there's anybody who passed away in the hospital. Now, the fact that it's a doubt when it comes to rabbinic prohibition could make it permitted, especially if there's a good reason for them to go to the hospital. If they have to visit someone, or they themselves need, some minor form of medical attention. Now, on the other hand, if we're going to go according to the opinions that hold that it's a deraisa, that's a Torah prohibition, then it could be a problem. Now, this is a sefer Shura Shai, important halachic work, that rules leniently based on this. But again, this is a big discussion, whether or not we can rely on this opinion that from room to room is not a Torah prohibition, but a rabbinic one. Now, based on this concept of Tumas Oil, that if one is in the same, under the same roof as the deceased person, and not only the same roof, but from room to room, that it's a problem, the Kitcher spends a considerable amount of time here addressing a very common and major problem that they had in the Jewish communities in his time. That was that the houses were very, very close to each other, especially in the ghettos, and because of that, the houses, they would have overhangs, and it would continue on and on and on from house to house to house, and it could go blocks. And the problem is that if anywhere in the whole area there were to be a person that passed away, and now, say, a window is open, or possibly, as long as there's that amount of a tefach, that small amount, or even smaller than that if it's made for light, so that would travel along the side of the overhang, and any kohen which would be in that area that his window was also open, it would create a problem for. So this is the problem that the Kitzer describes. L'chein, therefore, based on what we just learned about this problem of Tumas Ayel, of this Tumah that comes from being under the same roof, the Medina Zeno, in our countries, in our areas, the overhang is a tefach wide. Now, if it wouldn't be a tefach wide, then it wouldn't be a problem. But the overhang is a tefach wide, which is only 3.5 inches or more. The kaim alone, the reich of tefach, maybe it's a tumah. And we know that if it's that wide, then it's enough to transfer the tumah. Him came, zeh kotzim and agag, have a oil lahav yisatumah. So therefore, each end of it would be considered to be one airspace to bring the tumah. Lefize. Therefore, shnei batim smuchim zel zeh, if the two houses next to each other, im yesh meis ba'echa mehem, if there's a deceased person in one of them, ha'lechas ha'tumah derech pesach ha'chaloin tachas ha'ktzavis min agag shabaltim l'chutz. So the tumah would go through a doorway or through a window that's open to underneath the overhang and would travel along to the next house. V'nechneses gam osech ha'bayis ha'sheni, and go to the next house derech ha'loin ha'pesach v'suach, right, so it would follow underneath the overhang, and it would go into the next house through an open window or door. But also the kohen likanes gamel sech bayis hasheni, and it would be a problem for the kohen not only to go into the first house where the deceased person actually was, but even the second house. Even a number of houses that are waiting one that are next to one to another. The Kitzer continues with this problem, and sev dalid, and says afilu hagagin enim shavin. Even if it's not exactly the same height, so one might say that it doesn't continue on to the next one, but one's higher than the other. so they're uneven. V'afilu hagag shatuma sham abayis hu gvoya harbe min hagag hasheni. That even though the overhang or the roof of the house that has the deceased person in it is much higher, or the opposite halacha l'mayshem Sinai, that there's a halacha l'mayshem Sinai, which means a tradition that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai, damrin and chavod rami, that there's a concept called chavod rami. It's used in a number of places in halacha, which basically means the kids are explaining perish explanation shana rain kilo ha'elyon nechbat v'nishbat lamata. That we look at the higher roof coming, lowering itself. It's like virtually, we look at it like it's lower. And since if it go all the way down, it would touch this second roof, the second overhang. It goes from one to another. And it was basically, if we have one house that is very tall and it has an overhang, and then next to it, we have another house that's shorter, they have an overhang. So one might say, well, listen, it travels along the roof of the underneath the overhang of one house, so it doesn't continue on to the next house, which is much lower. But however, because we have this halacha l'mayshem Sinai, this tradition that we say chavod rami, that we look at that high house as if it's very low, and so it's equal to the other one, and therefore travels nicely along it, and it's going to be a problem even to the second house. And therefore, it's going to create a problem. So what do they do about this problem in these places? So there's a very simple way of solving it. The way of solving it would be to make sure that there's a little gap in between these overhangs from house to house, and therefore wouldn't travel along. And that's exactly what the Kiddush says. Well, in Yish Havzik my name, I feel koshu, but if there's some break in between them, so it's not continuous, Shuv Eina Hilachas HaTumah, then the Tumah does not travel. Now, in Siv Hei, the Kiddush is going to follow along the same idea, and basically what we need is that as long as there's a continuous oil, there's a continuous roof going from one end to the other, then it's going to be a problem, even if some parts of it are higher, some parts of it are going to be lower. However, if it's a wall, let's say, and without an airspace underneath, then it's not going to be a problem. And the kids over here brings three cases. And if you look in the pictures, basically, we're dealing with two houses that each of them have a very large overhang. And the question is, what would bring the tumah from one to the other? So in the last picture, if you see, there's a wall that protrudes from underneath the overhang, and then you have this arch. So basically what happens is that underneath the overhang, there's a wall. Now, a wall doesn't have a space underneath it for the tumah to travel, because the whole idea of this tumah is it's like tumas oil, that it's like a tent. But over here, there's no space. And by the time you have the space underneath the arch, it's already clear of the two roofs. So that's the case is going to be a problem. However, the other two cases, the case where you have the panel that's going horizontal and the two vertical ones on the side, so even though the vertical ones would perhaps stop the tumah, but because the roof goes over that segment of it, so it comes out that you have a clear space in between where the two roofs hang, sides of the roof hang over, so it's going to be a problem. The same is true with the arch in the second picture. The bottom line is that when each of the roofs end, underneath it is going to be some sort of archway with airspace underneath it, then that's going to be able to transfer the tumah based on the concept that we learned before of chavod rami. So now let's read this in the kitzur inside. V'chein kishiyesh kaira. The same is true if there's a board munachas ala mavoi horizontally resting on in a courtyard, like it's done in order that people should be to carry there on Shabbos. V'hi ruchava tefach, and it's a tefach wide, which is again like 3.5 inches. Vagagin mahilin alel tafach mikan, v'tafach mikan. And on each side, there's a roof overhanging over it. Im kein ba tuma min tachas hagag al tachas hakayra. So then the tuma comes from underneath the roof to underneath the kayra, underneath the board. V'hima via esa tuma. And it brings the tumah al tachas gagabayis shemitzad hasheni, and it brings it to the other side. So basically what happens is that if the tumah is, say, in the first house, so it's going to travel along the overhang, and then from the overhang it's going to go to the space of the opening, of the doorway, and then from there it's going to go back underneath the overhang of the next house, and it's going to travel along. That's the problem. V'chein continues the kisser, because yesh ben shnei batim kippah mebinyan, even if there's a archway, so it's not straight, but it's an arch, because like it's done at the entrance of a courtyard. I didn't cane who, it doesn't make a difference if it's straight or if it's an arch. The bottom line is at the end of each of the roofs, there's a open space with a arch over it, so that's going to contract the tumma. Fa'aval pi she'ein ala kippa gag boilet, and even though there's nothing jutting out on the sides of it, it comes directly down from the ceiling, from the house, from the part that's overhanging of the house, to underneath the open space of the archway. However, sometimes when they make this archway, sometimes they make it that it has feet, so to speak, from the ground and up, meaning it's not directly connected to the buildings. And therefore, underneath the overhang, there's just solid stone or whatever material they're made out of. So if there's not going to be a roof overhanging that point, and this thick part of the doorway juts out further than the overhang, as we mentioned in the beginning, and in the last case, but in the last picture, but baza inyan ein makim latuma shatavai, and then there's no place for the tuma to come, given sheish ktsas hefsik bli oil, because again, tuma is not contracted when there's no airspace underneath it, and because you have a solid area, then it's going to break it up. Lefa'am yesh bein bayis labayis kaisel sasum bli pesach. If there's just a wall there, el sheish lo gag bayle, but there's a roof overhanging it, batuma bom mi gag la gag. So, and the tumah travels along it. In such a situation, so again, what's the problem is if there's this overhang or this it's traveling along this overhanging part of a wall, so what you do is you make a break in it. Take away this part of this overhanging in one spot. That he says not even, what you could also do is you could narrow it, and therefore it's not going to have the wideness of a tefach, so it also stop it from traveling. But you just have to make sure that from the wall itself it doesn't stick out a tefach. Sometimes they make something protruding on the side of the wall, so you have to be careful of that depending on what the architecture is. But the bottom line is that if you do not have a overhanging part that's a tefach that with air underneath it, then it's not going to make the tumah travel from place to place. Siv Vav discusses what we mentioned a little bit in the beginning, which is that until now we talked about when it's actually open, right? So there's a window open to the overhang travels along to another window and it goes through. What about if the door is closed? So generally, if the door is closed, the tumah does not go through it. However, there's a rabbinic law, there's a din d'rabbanan, that says that if the deceased person, if the body is going to be taken out through that way, then it does go through it. We look at it as if it's open. So therefore, let's say if you have in a building, let's say, and they want to they're having a levaya, and the two parts of the building are separated by a door. So if they block off the door that they're not going to be using it to take out the deceased person, then the tumah would not travel from one part of the building to the other. Whereas if they wouldn't do that, and so perhaps they would take out the deceased through that way, or someone will be opening the door, so then you would have this rabbinic halacha, this din d'rabbanan, that the tumah would pass from part to part. This is what the Kitzur explains now in Siv Vav. Halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, there's another halacha that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, got it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on HaSinai, Shah Pesach, that the doorway, Asher Asidim L'Haiti, Darach Shem HaZameis, Min Oil, that they're planning to take the deceased person out from, Asher Hisham, from the place that he is, Shah Adai HaTzah Zu Yitar HaOil, that through taking the mace out, the deceased out, that's going to remove the tumah from this place. Afal pisha pesach hasahu sasum, even though right now it's closed. Mikol makom nidun kilehu pesuach midrabanan, it's looked as if it's open. Lachen also the kain sheyamid shom tachas hamashkeif, and therefore it can't be underneath that area. Afal pisha del stulim mifnim, even though the door is closed. Vechein miyishgak balat tevach neged pesach. So now if that opening, even though it's closed, but because we look at it as if it's open, and now there's something that is overhanging over that, maybe it's a tumah l'chol makom, you have the same problem again, that brings the tumah everywhere. She'af shekilu haya ha-pesach pasuch, so it's looked as if it's considered open. Achim niftach misad achar pesach, but if they designate another place, a doorway, a chalon, or a window, shehu arba tzvachim, al arba tzvachim, 4x4, was like nachshav pesach sasum kilu pesuach. It's not. We don't look at that. The closed door is like open. Umutu lekayin lamed sham, and he could stand there. Im ein hatuma yichel lagia elav, and because as long as the tumah can't get it directly, darachav pesach yichalan pesuach. As long as he can't get the directly to something actually open. So again, if something's actually open, then it makes no difference if the mace is gonna go out that way, but it makes a problem. And according to many paiskim, even from room to room is the oraisa. Whereas if the door is closed, then it's not a problem mid oraisa. But if they're planning to take the deceased throughout that way, that's considered like it's open mid rabban, and therefore it would create all those issues. In the next year, we're going to continue learning about tumas kain.